Good morning. Let me just say welcome again. My name's Tim. Again, welcome if you're joining online. We're going to be looking this morning at this passage. Do you feel under pressure at all? And by the way, if your blood pressure is that high, do go and see your GP. So do you feel under pressure as a Christian, or even perhaps as a Christian leader? And if you are feeling under pressure, where are the pressure points? Where does that pressure come from? Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at a letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to Timothy. Timothy is a young Christian leader of the church in Ephesus, and Timothy is under pressure. There is pressure from outside the church. Paul has experienced it. He's faced persecution. But there's also pressure, perhaps surprisingly, pressure from within the church. And Paul's particular concern is that people who were teachers in the church were teaching stuff that was just plain wrong. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says in chapter 2, verse 1, "Be strong, Timothy." And in chapter 1, verse 13, "Guard what was entrusted to you. Be strong and don't allow anyone to take away what you know and are convinced is true. Don't allow any attack from outside. Stand up to any error on the inside. Remember the truth and remind your congregation of it, and don't stop doing that." Now, there is a third pressure that Timothy faces. In chapter 1, Paul is aware that Timothy tends to be fearful, lacking confidence, timid. How many of us, including another Timothy that you may know in this church, would recognize that in ourselves? We have pressure internally. Maybe you struggle with the imposter syndrome. Maybe you're fearful of speaking up. Maybe you feel surrounded by folk in the church who are braver than you, more spiritual than you, more consistent than you, wiser than you. Yet Paul's message to Timothy is this: God has made you the person that you are, and you are gifted. As different individuals, we bring different gifts. And what are we to do? Fan into flame the gift that God has given. If you give in to constant comparisons, if you allow your natural timidity to take over, then the fire may go out. Fan it into flame. Use your gifts. Bless the church. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Carry on giving, carry on serving, stay connected. So if you can grab a Bible, if you haven't already, and turn up to page 1131. So, first of all, what does Paul say? He says there will be opposition. You will face pressure. In verses 1 to 9, which Jen spoke on last week, Paul warns us that there will be terrible times ahead. Opposition from people who are loving the wrong things. They love pleasure, they love money, and they love themselves. But they don't love God. They might look good on the outside. They might seem to be successful. They might have large congregations or thousands of views on YouTube, but they don't speak the truth. They deceive others and are themselves deceived. And Paul says, have nothing to do with them. Don't follow them. Don't approve or affirm them. They may be saying things that sound good, but in the end, their foolishness will become obvious to everyone. You, however, verse 10, you know me, Timothy. You know me well. You know how different I am from them. You know how I've lived. I've lived with integrity. I've stayed faithful. I keep on keeping on with love. And yet Paul faced opposition too. He faced persecution. He faced physical assault. It seems like that was how people were cancelled back in the day. They didn't have their Twitter account suspended. No, they had a mob throwing large stones at them until they left town or died. And Paul says, don't be surprised when you face tough times because of your faith. This is how it's always been. Jesus said, if the world hates you, then keep in mind that it hated me first. People may not like our beliefs. They may find them offensive. Or at best, they might think us just a bit odd or outdated. And so we might find ourselves held at arm's length, not really in with the crowd. So don't be surprised when you feel under pressure. Pressure to conform to the world, to fit in rather than stand out. Pressure to teach something new or something different. Pressure to give up, or at least stop speaking up. To keep your head down, to stay low, to stay under the radar. And sadly, Paul says some of the people have already given up. They were under pressure and they crumbled. He says, Demas has forsaken me, chapter 4 and verse 10. And chapter 1, verse 15, everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Secondly, Paul says, when opposition comes, when you are under pressure, continue. Continue in the same direction. Hold your line. Have the courage of your convictions. Keep on in the same truth, the truth that you learned years ago. It's still true now. Be confident in what you believe. Continue. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Testify to it. Why? Firstly, because you know who you learnt the truth from. You can rely on your teachers. And who were the teachers? Who was it that Timothy learnt from? Well, it was his granny. It was Granny Lois and Mum Eunice. They were godly women who loved God and lived for him and taught his ways, and they taught them to the young Timothy as he grew up at home. Trustworthy, faithful, strong women. It wasn't kids' stuff. It wasn't a fairy tale. No, they taught the truth of God. And perhaps it was the same for you. Maybe you too were blessed to have godly parents or grandparents who didn't just teach you the truths of the Bible, but they demonstrated them in the way they lived. They showed you what grace looks like, how to live compassionately, consistently, faithfully. I know I've been blessed with many godly examples to follow. But the challenge is that we now need to be those godly examples ourselves, living out what we say is true. Secondly, keep on in the same truth. Be confident in your faith, because what you believe is written down in the scriptures. It's not made up, it's not myths. Your convictions are based on these writings, the truth of scripture. Have a high view of this book. Trust these words. Build your life on this. This is how to stand firm when opposition comes, when you feel under pressure. Take a look at this if you've got some interest in engineering. Any ideas what skyscraper that is? Burj Khalifa. You've been there probably. In Dubai. Yeah. Have you ever wondered how they managed to build something so tall when all they have to build on is the sand? How does it stand up? Amazing. There we go. Underneath, thank you very much, underneath that very tall tower, there are many, many piles or rods going deep into the sand. And because there are so many, all together, they form a really, really strong foundation. How will you stand? How will you stay faithful? It's by rooting yourself in this truth and by having multiple contact points with this truth, with the Bible. In many different situations, you are held firm by the whole truth of Scripture. Last week, as I was thinking through this morning and preparing, I was reading Psalm 119, and some of us have read that together. I would fully and wholeheartedly recommend that you spend some time in that psalm. I really loved reading it again. There's so much beauty, so much wisdom, and so much strength in it. And I just wanted to share a few verses with you as a kind of appetizer, and maybe you could look it up later on this week and have a read. But just to give you a taste. Verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Verse 32, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Verse 72, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver or gold. And finally, verse 111, and 112. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. Back to 2 Timothy, verse 15. Just look down again. The Bible contains the message of salvation. If we want to know how to be saved, how to reach heaven, how to escape God's judgment, then all we need is here. This is God's wisdom. All we need to get to the end of the race, to endure and to receive the crown. It's all found here. Verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God. The Bible is inspired. It's not just that the Bible is inspirational. It is inspirational. But that word means something much more. It means literally God breathed. It's God's words to us. It's his revelation, his communication. He's the author. God chose to speak through other people's words as they wrote it down. And so there are no other writings that have equal authority to the Bible. We mustn't add anything to it, and conversely, we mustn't take anything away from it. Verse 17, the Bible is sufficient. We don't need to look anywhere else for revelation. If we want to know what to believe as a Christian or how to live as a Christian, then the Bible tells us God has spoken. These words will thoroughly equip us, verse 17, thoroughly equip us for every good work. No other words are needed. We don't need to worry that somehow we might have missed out on an important truth. It's all there. You're not required to believe anything else other than what is written in the Bible. You're not required to do anything else other than what is instructed in the Bible. And conversely, you're not required to avoid doing anything else other than what is forbidden in the Bible. So don't call a particular behavior sin if the Bible doesn't forbid it. Otherwise, you might feel unnecessarily guilty about it, or maybe frustrated that God hasn't delivered you from it. How will I stand under pressure? All you need is here. And you can rely on it because it is inspired, God breathed. You are reading God's words to you. So, what is the takeaway message this morning? What is the main thing for us here and now? Well, perhaps it's an easy application. Read your Bible. Read it on your own. Read it with others. Base your prayers on it. Base your whole life on the truth of it. Let it speak to all of your life, for all of your life, right to the end. Learn whole chunks of it. Meditate on it. Chew over it. And don't just read it, but delight in it. The Bible is your go-to book. When you need wisdom, when you need strength, when you succeed, when you fail, when you rejoice, when you grieve, when you feel despair, in all of life's many experiences, when you face pressure of many kinds, the Bible is your go-to book. But just to be clear, the Bible is not an end in itself. You go to the Bible because in it you find the Word of God, the revelation of God. You are drawn closer to God. You are comforted by his words. You are instructed and challenged. As you listen to his voice, you're encouraged and you are humbled. So practically then, what can we do to encourage each other to read the Bible? This is my phone. Note the Bible app. So a number of us are using that app. It's very useful. And at the moment, we're reading the Psalms together. And we've been doing that since the beginning of this year. And we will be finishing the Psalms at the end of this month. So, making it really practical, I am planning to start another plan, reading through the Gospels a chapter at a time. And I would invite you to join me with that. What did Jesus say to the two disciples who walked back to their home in Emmaus? Jesus had been crucified, and it seemed like it was all over. Their hopes were smashed. But the resurrected, living Lord Jesus drew near to two disciples who were confused, perhaps feeling under pressure to give up and walk away. What did he do? He went back to the scriptures. Jesus went back to the scriptures, and he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As we read the Bible, we get to know Jesus better. And after all, he is our ultimate example. He stayed strong in the face of persecution. He held his line. Under immense pressure, he didn't swerve away. He was obedient. He was faithful. And he kept going all the way to the cross. Let's pray. Father, would you help us as a church to be rooted in your truth, in your message to us as we read it in Scripture. Thank you. Thank you that your divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Help us to continue as we face pressures of many kinds. Help us to keep listening to your voice, really listening and obeying it. Thank you that you always provide for us. Thank you for the verse which says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Thank you that in your moment of greatest weakness on the cross, you defeated all the powers of sin and death. By your Spirit, would you fill us and empower us to walk each day in your truth? Amen. Just in a moment of quiet at this point, would you take some time to reflect on the truths that you've heard? Maybe consider how you might be able to put down more roots into Scripture. Maybe meditate on a verse that God brings to mind now. And in a few moments, Sally will lead us again.